The reading for the message today comes from the 20th chapter of John, beginning with the 19th verse. Later on that day, the disciples had gathered together, but fearful of the Jews, they had locked all the doors in the house. And Jesus entered and stood among them and said, "Peace to you." Then he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples, seeing the master with their own eyes, were exuberant. And Jesus repeated his greeting, "Peace to you. Just as the Creator sent me, I send you." Then he took a deep breath and he breathed into them. "Receive the Holy Spirit," he said. "If you forgive someone's sins, they are gone for good. If you don't forgive sins, what are you going to do with them?" "Receive the Holy Spirit," he said. "If you forgive someone's sins, they are gone for good. If you don't forgive sins, what are you going to do with them?" But Thomas, sometimes called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came, and the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Master." But Thomas said, "Unless I see the nail holes in his hand, put my finger in the nail holes, and stick my hand in his side, I won't believe it." So 8 days later, the disciples were again in the room. This time Thomas was with them. And Jesus came through the locked doors, stood among them, and said, "Peace to you." Then he focused his attention on Thomas. "Take your finger and examine my hands. Take your hand and stick it in my side. Don't be unbelieving. Believe." And Thomas said, "My Master and my God." And Jesus said, "So you believe because you've seen with your own eyes. Even better blessings are in store for those who believe without seeing." But Jesus provided far more God-revealing signs than are written down in this book. These are written down so that you will believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. The act of believing have real and eternal life in the way that Jesus has personally revealed it. Wow. I really like that line. Do we know the impact of that piece of scripture? If you forgive someone's sins, they're gone for good. For good. What does that mean? It means you don't get to bring it up again. It means that you can't hang on to it. You know, I tell you what, one of the funniest things when Billy and I first met, one of the first things I learned about his mother was you did not want to get into an argument with her. And the reason you didn't want to get into an argument with her is she had a clock. And she would reach back 20 years, if necessary, to make sure she won that argument. Amen?
Yeah.
I'm sure she's heard this verse by now. Once you forgive, it's gone. But the even more interesting question really is, if you don't forgive, what do you do with it?
Carry it around.
Absolutely. It gets heavier and heavier and heavier.
And
it comes out in lots of different ways, does it not?
Mm-hmm.
Some people tip a bottle to their mouth. Some people get angry. Some people just quit.
When you hold that inside, it makes you sick.
And there are people that are sick because they won't let go. And quite frankly, we really don't know the answer to that question. If you don't forgive, what are you going to do with them? Just such a great question. All right. By the way, in this day, here is the epitome of where we're at today. This week, for the welcome to the new week that I put out every week, I used the quote from Matthew because I thought that we're at a point where we might need to remind ourselves, "Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called children of God. All right? Somebody, one of my acquaintances on Facebook, responded to the Welcome to the New Week. And here's what they said. Quote, "Blessed are the ass kickers. They shall be called the agents of karma."
Wow.
He took a deep breath and breathed into them, saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive someone's sins, they are gone for good." Quite a contrast, folks. Do you see where the challenge is for us today? And originally, and it's changed already. God has a way of doing these things. Originally, as I was studying for this sermon and trying to figure out what I wanted to share about the impact of this passage, because, I mean, you know, we've all heard the story of Thomas, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we've heard it 1,000 times, and 9 times out of 10, we use the story of the doubting Thomas. We end up feeling bad. Gee, I should have never doubted if I'd have just believed. Right? We just don't believe good enough. We just don't believe strong enough. And I don't think that's the point of the story to begin with. It is, though, if you connect Jesus saying, you're going to go out and forgive folks, you're empowered to do that. And why was that different? Because remember one of the running arguments with the Jews and Jesus at that time was what? When he forgave people their sin, they would sit back and go, whoa, wait a minute, you're not God. You can't do that. So here's the next step. Not only is he not God, he's the Messiah, but he's also saying to you that you can forgive sins. Wow. Wow. That's pretty impressive. And it does change the way you live your life. Amen? So I ran across this sermon that was preached by Reverend Richard J. Fairchild out of the United Church of Canada. And he called it Acts of Kindness, Acts of Forgiveness, Acts of Love. If you go on YouTube, you will see that I preached a sermon and had stolen that title back in 2009. And it was heartbreaking for me because when I looked at it, Father Warren was still alive. And he participated in communion that day, and it just brought back memories of how much I missed that old cougar. I mean, he could be cranky, but he had a heart as big as this pavilion. And he just left us way too soon. And it reminded me of Wolf. It reminded me of all the people that seemed to pass through our lives. And I wondered, how many of these people did we need to forgive and we didn't? How many of these people did we actually really need to embrace fully? And we didn't quite do it because, well, you know, there was something about them that aggravated us. Or there was something about that they said that insulted us. So as I listened to this, I went back and I read this, and I realized that this guy, when he wrote this sermon, probably could say it better than I could. But now I've kind of changed my mind, and I only want to give you part of it. And here's the first part. A few years ago, a woman by the name of Ann Herbert, she's a writer who lives in California, accidentally started a movement called Practicing Random Acts of Kindness and Senseless Acts of Beauty. Do you remember that? She came up with the phrase while doodling on a restaurant placemat in Sausalito one day. A man sitting nearby thought it was wonderful, and he copied it down on his own placemat. And suddenly, people all over were copying the phrase down and doing what it suggests. The objective of those who subscribe to this movement is quite simply to do kind things for other people for absolutely no reason at all, other than the fact that they want to make the world a better place. Those who commit random acts of kindness do things like pay the toll for their own car at the toll gate and then the toll for the next six cars behind them. Or they take a beautiful plant into... Are you ready for this? This sermon was preached 10 years ago. Or they take a beautiful plant into a police station to help brighten the environment. Or they let the person in the grocery line behind them go before them. Or they smile at a harried cook in an office, or clerk in an office. Or they compliment a stranger on the bus on how good they look. According to Ann Herbert, some of the things that have been done by those who have caught the spirit of practicing random acts of kindness and senseless acts of beauty include shoveling the snow from a neighbor's walk when no one was looking, leaving a generous tip for a waiter who has provided awful service, planting daffodils along the highway, writing an old school teacher to let them know what a difference they had made in their life, going out and scrubbing graffiti off of park benches without asking anybody if it needed to be done. Here's the idea, Herbert says. Anything you think there should be more of, do it randomly. Kindness can build on itself as much as violence can. Want to hear that again?
Yeah.
Kindness can build on itself as much as violence can. And you know what the key is? If you forgive someone's sin, then it is gone for good.
Is that how we short-circuit violence?
Does that mean you forget? Because it's easier to say, I accept your apology and I forgive you, than it is to forget that it ever happened.
Should we forget that fire burns and hurts?
I'll answer your question and your statement with this. When I was 3 years old, we had a washing machine that was modern for the time, but most of you here probably have never even seen one. It was a big round tub, and on the back of that tub, now not that old, on the back of that tub were these two rollers. And because it didn't have a spin cycle. And so when you were done washing your clothes, you would put the clothes through the rollers and it would squeeze all the water out. Now, you can only imagine how much pressure there was between those two rollers.
Oh, yeah.
I was 3 years old. And in the day, the first ones they came out with didn't have an emergency release. I was 3 years old. My grandmother was living with us, and she told me, Paul, you stay in the front room. I'm going out to hang up clothes. And she walked out the back door. I immediately walked into the laundry room. And I looked into the washer, and there it was. It was washing, and then it stopped. And I decided that I wanted to help. And I picked up one of those pieces of clothing, and I put it into the roller. Nobody told me that you were supposed to let go. I ended up with my hand being crushed in that roller. The scream that came out of my mouth brought my grandmother running back into the house. And rather utilizing the new emergency release that they had put on this washer, she grabbed me by the wrist and pulled my hand out, which effectively had the effect of ripping the skin all the way down to the bone. In the course of the next 4 or 5 years, I had several surgeries, because as you might guess, what grew back was scar tissue. I can now do things with this finger that nobody else can do. Amen. Yeah, isn't that great?
No more.
But The scar is still there. And I have to deal with that scar. We have to deal with when we've been hurt, when fire has been put to us. But Jesus has actually given us, as hard as it is, he's given us the remedy to peace. You remember that when Jesus was running around the countryside, and at one point he comes to the disciples and he says, "My peace I give you, not as the world gives." Well, the world, friends, does not let you forget. They don't. They do not let you forget. So what is Jesus talking about? I am not sure, in answer to your question, that we can ever totally let go of it. But I think that that is the struggle. That is the path that we go down to get rid of the nightmares. It is the path that we go down to get rid of the anger. Because the other thing that I would suggest to you, why is Jesus hitting this so heavy? He's hitting it so heavy because they nailed his butt to a cross. They did to him the absolute worst thing that you could do to another human being. Yes, I know we can think of all kinds of bad things. The Boston bombers did awful things. 9/11 was awful. The people and what they're doing over there in the Middle East is absolutely awful. What some police officers are doing to the black community is beyond description as far as being awful. But the bottom line is, folks, when you weed through all the sewage, when you weed through all the crap, if you don't forgive the sin, what are you going to do with them? And I'm telling you this morning that what we do with them is kill each other. What we do with them is not feed people. What we do with them is we don't visit the sick. What we do with them is not give drink to the thirsty. We quickly forget that God requires of us to do justice, to be fair, and to be merciful, and to walk humbly with God. Now, this is not easy stuff, folks. It is not meant to be easy. I know that there are people around who will say to me, "Well, Pastor, I could give you an example where I cannot forgive." Okay, I'm not going to argue with you. I think what I'm going to do from now on, though, is refer you back to what Jesus said. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? I think that that's the question that we need to deal with. If we don't let it go, if we let it fester, if we hang on to it, if we keep feeding it, what are we doing? If this church has an obligation in the community that we live in, it is this. Jesus Christ himself empowered us to forgive sins. And once we do, they're gone. And if we don't, then you're going to have to answer this question. What are you going to do with them? God bless you.